ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Text 78. Sri Suka Uvacha. Iti Devarshya Proktam. Shamya Bhartar Shabhiha Uryayam Asa Suprata Krishnam Cha Prima Vivalam Vivaha. Word for word. Sri Sukubhacha. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Iti, thus, Deva Rishina, by the great saint Narada Muni, Proktam, described, Nishamya, hearing, Bharta Rishabha, best of the descendants of the Bharat Maharaj's dynasty, the best of the descendants in the Bharat Maharaj dynasty, namely Maharaj Yudhisthira. Pujayam Asa, worshipped. Subrita, being extremely pleased. Krishnam, unto Lord Krishna. Cha, also. Vivalaha, in the ecstasy of love of Krishna. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Maharaj Yudhisthira, the best member of the Bharat dynasty, thus learned everything from the description of Narada Muni. After hearing these instructions, he felt great pleasure within his heart, and in great ecstasy, love and affection, he worshipped Lord Krishna. Purport. It is natural then when someone belonging to one's family circle is understood to be very great, one becomes ecstatic in love, thinking, oh, such a great personality is our relative. When Sri Krishna, who was already known to the Pandavas, was further described by Narada Muni to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, naturally the Pandavas were amazed, thinking, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is with us as our cousin. Certainly, their ecstasy was extraordinary. So I'm going to read text 79, and it also has a short purport, and 80 has no purport, so that will be the end of this seventh canto and the end of this chapter 15, entitled Instruction for Civilized Human Beings. Narada Muni, being worshipped by Krishna and Maharaj Yudhisthira, bid them farewell and went away. Yudhisthira Maharaj, having heard that Krishna, his cousin, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was struck with wonder. After hearing the conversation between Narada and Yudhisthira, if one still has any doubts about Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, must immediately give them up. Asam Shayam Samagra Gram. without any doubts, without any defect. Once you understand Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus surrender at his lotus feet. Ordinary persons do not do this, even after hearing all the Vedas. But one is fortunate, although it may be even after many, many births, he comes to this conclusion. Bhavanam jamanam ante gyanavamam jujanante. On text number 80, on all the planets within this universe, the rise of living entities, moving and non-moving, including the demigods, demons, and human beings, were all generated from the daughters of Daksha. I have now described them and their different dynasties. Thus ends the Bhaktivinoda purport of the 7th canto, 15th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, completed on the night of Vaisakhi Shukla Ekadasi, the 10th of May, 1976, in the temple of Panchatapa, New Navadvip, Honolulu, by the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Thus we happily chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Omar Gyananth Ramdasya. Jana Jana Sakaya Saksu Mitam Jena Tasme Shri Guru Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Nanti Sampadanti Kam Mancha Kopa Trivyasya Kriba Sindhu Evacha Anam Parnevyo Vaishnevyo Namo Naha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by the mercy of the spiritual master, when a lame man can scale mountains, a dumb man can speak elegant words, and a dog can swim across the ocean. So Srila Prabhupada completed this canto in Panihati, or in New Navadvip, Honolulu, Hawaii, United States. Hawaii is an island which is eight hours away from the coast, from Los Angeles, in America. So it's the state of America. And Hawaii is like a heavenly planet. It never gets too hot, never gets too cold. And Prabhupada liked it there because they had a mango tree in the front yard, and so he would go there during the mango season. And the house was donated by Ambarish Das, and they pay $1 rent per year. So they made that into a nice temple for the Panchatapa deities and Jagannath Subhadra Bhavadev. So Srila Prabhupada was empowered by Krishna to translate and purport the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, how many people in this room have read the complete 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam? Not many. So you should get busy. Everyone should read all of Prabhupada's books, word for word. Otherwise, you will become lazy. And the Prabhupada said, the ashram is not for lazy, crazy fellows. So even after reading all the Bhagavatam. He's doing it to Prabhupada one time, and he said, Srila Prabhupada, we're reading your books. Prabhupada said, no, I don't want you, only I want you to study my books. Because you should be like the lawyer. When the lawyer goes to court, he has evidence from previous cases to support his case. So when we're preaching, we come again, people give opposition and ask questions. We should be able to easily defeat them by quoting from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, from Prabhupada's books. So some may say, I don't have time to read the books, but in either case, you should make time and read all the Srimad Bhagavatam, all the books. And says, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, by regular hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have this class every day, Srimad Bhagavatam class, and it purifies the heart. Because the heart is full of contamination, and it lusts, greed, anger. So the Bhagavatam has that power to purify the living entity and bring them to the mode of goodness. Unless we come to the mode of goodness or pure goodness, then we can't really begin our devotional service. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to discuss in the table of contents, there's 14 points which have been made about this chapter. Because this chapter is so important for human civilization, for human society, because the Kali Yuga is progressing very quickly, and people are thinking they're living in a civilized human society. But if you read Prabhupada's books and you study the activities of people, you'll see that they're only living like cats and dogs, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Working hard day and night to accumulate so many things, it's all thinking that will bring them happiness, but it is just a trick of Maya, trick of the material energy. So I've read this chapter many times, but I don't remember how important it was and how these verses were very instructive about the nature of this material world. So I'll go through these points, and then I'll speak a little bit about these purports. So the first point is on page 825, text number 5, the offering of food. Offering of food should be at a proper place, with love, food prepared with ghee to the deities of the Supreme Personality Godhead. Then after the offering, it should be distributed to a suitable person, and by that person will get everlasting prosperity. So cooking with ghee is for the inside, oils for the outside. When we started this movement, when I came to this movement, we never heard of cooking anything in oil. We only use ghee, and you can't buy ghee in America. So we would buy butter and make our own ghee, and everything was cooked in ghee, including the Sunday feast, which means a couple hundred people. So there was no question of using oil. But unfortunately, when Prabhupada left the planet, they started to think that ghee was too expensive and that oil was a better substitute. But Ghee is purifying, ghee is medicinal, ghee is a doesn't create cholesterol. Of course, you shouldn't eat too much ghee, but especially for the deities here in Vrindavan, we only cook with ghee for the deities. Other parts of the world, they also cook with oil, but that's not first class. First class, everything should be cooked in ghee, especially cow ghee. In the 80s, the 90s, you couldn't get cow ghee in India. It was only buffalo ghee or mixed ghee. They have this trick. They put a picture of a cow in the can and say pure ghee. But they don't say pure cow ghee. So if it doesn't say pure cow ghee, then it's mixed buffalo and cow ghee. But if they say pure cow ghee, then you know it's pure cow ghee. So now, pure cow ghee is readily available. So everyone should know that cooking with ghee is the best first class. So the next text was in page 829, text number 10. Slaughtering the animals for religion or food. In the Bible it says, thou shalt not kill. Jesus Christ was seeing that in the synagogue, in the Jewish religion, they were killing animals. And so he broke away from the Jewish religion, started Christianity. Because killing of animals is putting animals in distress. We know Lord Chaitanya was in the forest. Narada Muni was walking in the forest. And he was seeing animals that were half killed. Then he came upon the hunter named McGrory and asked him. McGrory said, why have you come here? Have you come to beg for something? Can I give you some animal skin? He said, no, I have one thing to beg from you. You're killing animals. That's your profession. But why are you only half killing them? He said, well, that gives me great pleasure. My father taught me this business. So killing animals and putting animals in distress is a very sinful activity, especially killing the cows. Because animal slaughter, killing cows is going on continuously. In 1948, in India, they were still a little pious. They wanted to make a resolution in Parliament that to close all the slaughterhouses. But then they said that will ruin our economy, so better to keep them open. They didn't understand anything about karma or the reaction that the country will have to suffer, the people have to suffer. So a karmic reaction for killing animals is war. War is directly related to killing cows, as animal slaughter, but it's human slaughter. So one of the principles is we don't eat meat, fish, or eggs of any sort. And this is an instruction that all people should follow. Tigers are Ishvashamidam Sarvam. The quota is there for all living entities. 8,400,000 species. 400,000 are human beings, and our quota is not eat meat. Our quota is grains, milk, vegetables, fruits, vegetables, these kind of things. Not meat. Especially not cow meat. Even in the Vedas, there's no mention of the word cow eater. They call people, low class people, were dog eaters. It says if you want to eat an animal, you can eat a goat or a deer, but never a cow. who cows your mother, who gives you milk. All the demigods reside in the body of the cow. The cow is sacred. They should be protected. But they don't know that. And so they're very proud of the fact that they can kill so many cows. We have to have programs on television where people were taking the cows to the slaughterhouse. And that was considered glorious. Because they're so expert at packing things. And when you go to the supermarket to buy food, you see the meat, it's packed very nicely. You don't consider that this was a dead animal. One devotee told me his friend's a vegetarian, so they make, his other friends make fun of him. They say, how's your rabbit food? And he replies, well, how's your vulture food? So everybody's implicated in the karma of killing animals. The person that owns the slaughterhouse, the person that kills the, does the killing, the person that packs it, the person that buys it, the person that sells it, the person that cooks it, the person that eats it. Everybody has to take part in the karmic reaction for such an activity. One devotee was in one town in Europe, distributing books. He asked somebody, where is the main center to the town? So they gave him direction. So he's going along the road, and he's starting to smell things, getting a bad smell, and he's wondering where he was going. So he ended up, they send him to a slaughterhouse. The slaughterhouses are most abominable, obnoxious smell, and everything about him is terrible. So he took his Krishna, he went inside and met the manager, sold the manager a book. Anyway, these things, slaughterhouses are there all over the world. And India became number one in animal slaughter. So in this way, Prabhupada gave the four regulated principles, no meat, fish, or eggs. But none of these things are vegetarian, and none of these things are, there's always any reaction if you eat these things because you're causing suffering to living entities. So verse number 12, page 831, describes five branches of pseudo-religion. Vidharma, Paradharma, Abhasdharma, Chaladharma, and Upadharma. These are all pretentious religions and are cheating religions. It says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kaitava Dharma, second verse says, the Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out all these Kaitava Dharma. Because real Dharma is Sanatana Dharma, or full surrender to Krishna. That's why we're practicing Sanatana Dharma. This is not Hinduism. It's not one of those so-called religions, cheating religions, which don't tell people how to live a human form of life. So this is also one of the verses in this chapter. So meat eating, pseudo-religions, what you should eat, these are very important instructions. Number, chapter, page 835, text 15, says how to transcend economic endeavor and not endeavor, just like the python. The python man, Prahlada Maharaj met the python man after he became the king of the world for 36,000 years. The python man was just laying in one place, and whatever was supplied to him, he would accept. Sometimes he got very palatable food, sometimes he didn't get any food, Sometimes he got bad food. Sometimes he got nice dress. Sometimes he didn't have any dress. Sometimes he had a nice bed. Sometimes he didn't have any bed. But he just stayed in one place, and or whenever he moved around, he didn't ask anything from anyone. He didn't try to endeavor. Lord Maharaj says, as soon as one endeavors to be happy by making money, then his distress begins. So again, the animals have their quota, which is allotted by material nature. The ant eats one grain of sugar. Doesn't have to go to the factory and work all day to get that. Elephant eats 100 pounds of grass every day, or whatever they eat. But they don't have to go to a factory and work hard all day. But the human beings think they have to work hard all day. Some people, Prabhupada said one boy was asking his mother, who's that man lying in the bed? And the mother said, that's your father. He didn't know who his father was because his father had to go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning and come back at 10 o'clock at night, so he never saw his father. So he had to work very hard. People work very hard for economic development. But it's all a useless waste of time because you come in this world with nothing and you can accumulate so many things and make so much money and think you're going to be happy, but it's like carrying a heavy load on your head, and then to reduce the weight of the load, you put the load on your shoulder. It doesn't reduce the load, it just puts it in a different place. So they're endeavoring for economic development. And Lord Chaitanya came to teach Vairagya Vijayanidya Bhakti Yoga. He teaches us how to live a life of renunciation and not to, we should only endeavor what is necessary to keep the body and soul together. We should not want to acquire more than that. And then you can live very simple, simple living and high thinking, and not be in anxiety. The more money people have, the more things people have, the more anxiety they have, the more depression they have, the more diseases they have, the more trouble they have. It doesn't do what they think it's going to do. People go to college to get a degree. Prabhupada called the colleges, universities, slaughterhouses, because they simply are teaching people how to get some technical training to make money, but there's no department that teaches people about the soul, Tato Brahmajiginasa. So make people think that the only business in life is to make money, to live, support the family, support the wife and children, and then have a car and have a house and have everything and you'll be happy. But people are not happy at all with all these things, even though the promise is there. So the the devotee, we live a simple life, only accept what is necessary, maintain body and soul. And this way, we can live a simple life. Even Srila Prabhupada went to America. He didn't have any furniture. People would come to see him, and he didn't have any furniture. He couldn't understand how a man could live without any furniture. He simply sat on the floor, had his trunk of books, and he used that as a table. The Prabhupada was very, lived a Radha Damodar, lived a very simple life. And he didn't go to America to make money, but went to America to teach people. They said to Prabhupada, when you go to America, you have to wear a pants shirt, tie, and eat with knife, fork, and spoon. The Prabhupada said, no, I'm not going there to learn from them how to make increase the Dharma Artha Kama Moksha. I'm going there to teach them how to live like a human being. Teach them real religion. So Prabhupada was very bold in his preaching, and he condemned this modern civilization. And because they're doing things for economic development, this modern civilization will not last very long. It's going to crumble sooner or later, because they're doing things which are opposed to nature, taking the oil out of the earth, polluting the water, polluting the air, polluting the food. In this way, they're going against Mother Nature. When Prithu Maharaj became the king, Mother Nature was not supplying grain, foodstuffs to the citizens. So they went to the king and said, we're starving because we're not getting any food. So Prithu Maharaj took out his bow and arrow and was going to kill Mother Earth. So Mother Earth assumed the form of a cow, because he knew Prithu Maharaj would never kill a cow. But he asked her, why are you holding back, not giving food to the people? And she said, because the people are sinful and not performing sacrifice. And when there's no sacrifice, then there's no, demigods are not pleased, and no one can be pleased, and therefore the Mother Earth was not giving the proper food. So Maharaj Prithu was a Shaktivesh avatar, and he was able to reverse the situation. His life is described in the fourth canto. Then in page 3, 8, 3 to 9, text 20, talks about greed. How you cannot satisfy greed, no matter how much you want to satisfy your lusts. Lust, greed, and anger, three gates to hell. Arjuna asks Krishna, what is one impelled to act in a sinful way? And he says it's due to lust only. Lust is all of our sinful enemy. Lust, greed, and anger. So people are greedy. If a man has $1 million, he wants $2 million. If he has $2 million, he wants $1 billion. So this greedy propensity makes people cheaters. One man was making $500,000 a year, but he wasn't satisfied with that. So he developed a scheme to make money by cheating people, end up collecting $400 million. But he was caught and had to go to jail for 20 years. So he wasn't satisfied, even though he had twice enough money to live very comfortably. So devotees especially, we should not be greedy to get things that we don't need, even though it's our nature to want things. In brahmacharis, grihasthas, whatever ashram you're in, still, that greed is there in the heart, and desire to have things. And now it's easily available on the internet. You can get practically anything you want. If you have a credit card, you can order on the credit card. You don't even have to go to the market. But we should only nirbandhan Krishna sambandha yukta vairagya uchite. We should only use things which you can use in Krishna's service, not otherwise. And 8:45, text 26 talks about the guru. It says the guru is the greatest asset. Like the Supreme Personality of God, The guru gives transcendental knowledge. So guru is required. Tadvidi paripatena paripasena sevaya upadekshyanti tagyanas gyanastapa darshanaha. So one must have a bona fide guru, a do guru ashraya. First principle, Rupa Goswami says, one must accept a guru. But the guru should be an uttamadhikari, should be a realized soul, so he can impart knowledge. And one must be submissive and inquire from the guru, so he can make advancement. So the guru is not, it's an offense to disobey the orders of the spiritual master in chanting the holy name. Consider him an ordinary man. The guru is not an ordinary man, because he has transcendental knowledge. He can impart knowledge and give instructions to help his disciples to go back to Godhead, go back to Godhead, get out of the material world. So, page 851, Yoga Process, Leave Family Life, Live Solitary, and beg for food as much as possible. It's called Madhukari. Person can go from door to door, get a little food, and live, maintain his life. But it says if he doesn't get any food, he can also cook for himself or make arrangements to get food. But at the age of 50, over 50, one should leave his family, take vanapras, renounce the family of attachments and affections. Like Queen Kunti is also praying that she can give up her affection for the Pandavas and the Yadavas. 862 talks about breaking the regulated principles. That's for brahmacharis, vanaprats, and sannyas. It says that those people don't follow the principles, they're the lowest renegades, especially a sannyasi. If a sannyasi gives up his ashram and gets married, it's called ventasi, or one who eats his own vomit. And only a dog would do that. And he's shameless and anyway, Prabhupada said such a person is shameless to have to do such a thing. That's why Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told Lord Chaitanya that he was too young to take sannyas. He said people should only take sannyas when their three quarters of life is finished, so there won't be less chance of being in tank and falling down again in the material world, into your life. So I'm going to go to the last one, which is on 75, text number 75 on page 910. There was a few more here, but the time is running short. Well, anyway, I could just read them. 52 says, cannot remain in heavenly. It's only temporary. And even if you perform sacrifice to demigods and get your go to the heavenly planets, you still have to come back to the material, to the earth planet. So the only sacrifice in this age is Harinam, 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 Kevalo, Kluna, Stevina, 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 Gatya, Nyata. That is the chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Text number 58, what is reality? The moon, you can see the moon in a mirror. It's not the moon is false, and it's not that the mirror is false. They're real, but they're temporary. This Mayavadi philosophy says Brahma Satya Jagat Mitya, that everything is false. But we say everything is not false. Everything is real but temporary. One devotee met a Mayavadi, and you say everything is false and everything is one. So you give me your blanket. So he gave him his blanket, and they gave him one thread from his blanket. Everything is one. So you have, I have your blanket, and I have, you have a thread from your blanket. So it's the same thing. So the person came back in the middle of the night and said, I'm cold. Can you give me my blanket back? So it's not that everything is one. It's the misconception, Mayavadi conception, which Prabhupada, over and over again, defeats that idea that to become one, to merge. Oneness, and we should become one. Text 65 says ultimate self-interest is that oneness in desire. The word oneness is used in Prabhupada's purports. That means we only desire what Krishna desires. We only desire what Guru desires. So if Guru gives instruction, it should be followed. Even Lord Chaitanya, as a servant, Govinda was sent as a servant. And Govinda was Lord Chaitanya's godbrother, and he didn't want to accept him as his servant. But Swarup Damodar said you should accept him because it's the Guru's order. So the Guru gives an order, we should accept that order. So not disobey his order. So we should be oneness in desire with Guru and oneness in desire with Krishna. In text 69, it describes how Narada Muni was Upabara. He was a demigod. And when the Sankirtan party came by, he was singing cinema songs. And they were chanting the holy name. So they cursed him to become the son of a maidservant devoid of beauty. Children are generally cute and nice to look at, but he was devoid of beauty. We don't have any picture of that. But in that life, he got the association of saintly persons, performed austerity, got the darshan of the Lord, and after some time, he became Narada Muni. And text number 75, page 910, says Krishna lived with the Pandavas like an ordinary man. So this is the end of this chapter describing that Krishna lived like an ordinary man with the Pandavas, and when Brihad Bhagavatamrita says the Naramuni is going to find out who got the most mercy, the Pandavas are describing as having the most mercy because Krishna was living with them as their cousin and as an ordinary person. So Krishna comes to this world, Yadad, Yadavi, Dharmasha, Anita, Bharata, in Britannai Sadhana, Vinishak, Adhisritam. He comes to reestablish religious principles, and he comes to kick out irreligion, and he comes every millennium, and so he acts like an ordinary human being. But we know Krishna has a spiritual body, Satchitananda, Atma Maya. So he comes by the Yoga Maya potency, and he doesn't, although he appears to be a human being to those who are not, don't have any devotion, Tashi Krishna Namadi, Namavada Indriyani. Unless you have purified senses, even if Krishna is standing in front of you, you'll not recognize him. So there are not very many people recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality, got it. But Maharaj Yudhisthira did, and here it says that he had prema, vivalaha. He was in ecstasy of love of Krishna. And the Pandavas were all in ecstasy because they were not ordinary human beings. And Krishna comes and sometimes he acts in different ways. You can read this in the Krishna book, different pastimes where he's seemingly acting like a human being. But he was never a human being and no one could kill him. Even though so many demons attacked, tried to kill him. Krishna comes in this material world, stays for some time by his own will, and then he goes, leaves the material world. The ordinary living beings were forced to come in the material world. When we're in the material world, we're forced to stay here. We can't come and go as we choose. So there's a difference between Krishna and ordinary human beings. Only the fools and rascals think Krishna is an ordinary human being. Father Krishna can't be in a deity form. The Muslims say God cannot have a form, and so they will destroy the deities. But God has Satchitananda Vigraha body, and he's Narayanam, he's ever youthful. Krishna was on the planet for 125 years, but he never looked older than 16 or 20. So this ends this chapter, and it says that after hearing, ordinary persons do not understand this, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but we should understand this without doubting. 15th chapter, Bhagavad Gita says, one who knows me is the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting, is to know, performs pure devotional service. So there should be no doubt in any devotee's mind that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that God means that one single person no one's equal to or greater than. So after hearing all this, if one is fortunate, although it may take many, many births, as Bhavanam Jamanamante Garabam Mam Bhajante, takes many births to get that fortune. So we're all very fortunate that we be able to become devotees and understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. God has hundreds of millions of names. Whatever name you give him, it's the same God. The sun is the same sun. Whether the sun is shining in India or China or America, it's not a different sun, even though you may call it by different names. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everything is coming from him. Sarva Karana Karanam. And this is described in Brahma Samhita. So the last point is that they, on all planets within the universe, varieties of living entities, moving and non-moving, including demigods, demons, human beings. So the scientists say there's no life on any other planet, and there's only life on this planet, but we don't agree with that philosophy. There's life on every single planet. Krishna spoke to the sun god 120 million years ago on the sun planet. The moon planet is the juice of life to all vegetables. There's life on every single planet, but the life form is according to the atmosphere. So they have these misconceptions. And Prabhupada saw the moon landing in London, England, 1969 on the television. When they turned off the television, he said they never went to the moon. That it was a hoax. And his servant couldn't believe it. One of his servants couldn't believe it. So he left the movement. So they're bluffing. When they say they can go to the moon, and now they want to go to Mars or go here and there, you can't go to any other planet by mechanical means, only by your karma. So all these things are there in Srimad Bhagavatam. So our time is finished. If any other questions, you can call me later. Hare Krishna.